Det var fett, en av fräta august. Ja, nu. Och nu heter det Daniel nu.
Vad du heter det? Är du tjolo?
Lars Nygaard. Inger Nygaard Carr. Mamma Constance Nygaard Schwarz.
So tell me, what did your husband do and tell him about the children? What they do and grandchildren, do you have any?
My husband is a carpenter.
He was trained in Norway, wasn't he?
He was trained in Norway. And he came to America in 1930. There wasn't much carpenter work to be done. So we started renting some land and started and trying our hands at farming the American way. We started out with just the shirt on our back. But little by little, we had a few cows, and chickens, even turkeys.
Now when you first came, you didn't own your own farm though?
No.
How was that? What did you do? You worked somebody else's farm? Or?
We rented and sharecropped, you know, shareholders.
Mm-hmm. How does that work?
Well, the owner, he furnished the land and sometimes the seed, and then they harvested the crop, and that was 50-50.
You got 50 and
yeah.
He got 50?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh. 50,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was in Minnesota?
That was in Minnesota. And of course he the one we rented from, he bought some cows to start with, but pretty soon we paid him back for that. So we owned the cows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he didn't have anything. So when we sold milk or cream or whatever the case was, we got that our own. Yeah. So it was just the crop.
This was in northern Minnesota. But and then your husband did carpenter work up there or?
Well, there wasn't much work to be had. Of course. You remember, your dad went over here 2 years before us. And it wasn't so bad then. He went to Montana 2 summers in a row and did carpenter work.
So just
in
the summertime
he
went to Montana.
Yeah.
He went back in the
yeah, uh-huh. Because if he was supposed to come, he was there. He went to America in the fall.
Fall of what?
In 28. And then he stayed at the farmers in Minnesota, that till in the spring. Then he stayed with a couple, Ellen and Ole Arne. And they had 2 nieces and a nephew in Dutton, Montana. And they helped him, and one niece was married to a contractor. And they helped him after that, so he got work over there. So he went out there. Of course. It was plenty of work that summer, and he earned so he could come to the next fall. So he came to Minnesota. When you immigrated in those days, you had to have somebody here to sign paper for you, you know, to take care of you in case you find work for yourself. Yeah. So at the end of the summer, he told us to get ready too, and that was in 1929. Sent us money for the ticket and everything, and we packed everything and went to Oslo. But lo and behold, we didn't get the visa. We didn't get a pass.
Why?
Because you were too fast. Well, that's the reason they said you.
You're gonna take me home and slim me down.
And you were heavy, but then you know your hand, you know. So that was bigger, see.
Uh-huh.
That was bigger. So that nurse or whatever it was, I don't know, if I met her today, I couldn't even look at her. I got so disappointed. It was just so silly. It wasn't anything. It was, we were well and healthy.
She should have known that it would work.
Yeah. She didn't know that. So we had to go back, you know. But your grandpa, my dad, was with us, and that was a good help. So, I don't know. much you want to know this.
Everything.
So we had to have a place to stay. Because that first year your dad left, and my dad, he leased the home to a young couple. But he took, permission so I could have a room to stay. As long as I was there. Mm-hmm. And he's out to look.
Mm-hmm.
But then you were going to go, that was out. So there we were. And then my older sister, she was married, they had four kids of their own. And that was in Norway, Kirk's daughter in Norway, and she said she invited us to come and stay with them during the over. And then we were happy to do that, and everything was fine. But it was a nurse staying there too, and she was a wonderful person, and she thought the whole thing was so silly. And she wrote to a friend, doctor friend she had in Trondheim, and he got to working, and he thought it was silly, and he wrote the sternest letter to them and told them that there's nothing wrong with you. But then they want us to wait a year. You were supposed to slim down in a year. You were.
Well, you
but you didn't. You didn't. No, that was a hard proposition. You had too many cousins and too many friends around you that said you could think that way. But then, maybe that's the way it was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then we stayed with my sister the winter over.
This was in what town now?
Kirksæter, that's the name.
Where is that?
On the west coast of Norway.
Okay.
And in the spring, then we went up to Tyrar again, because my dad has taken all our stuff later up there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we stayed with them, with your dad's uncle, the summer over. And then we got word that we could come and try again in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
That was in September, I guess. And of course that, we went through right away. So it got to be the latest part of September, I think.
So this was 2 years then? Full 2 years?
It was 2 years. Full 2 years. Full 2 years. It was supposed to be only 1 year, but
well, why did Daddy leave?
To find work.
There wasn't anything for him up there?
No, it wasn't anything. And his oldest brother, he had been over here. He had been over here.
Mm.
He worked in the mines in Butte, Montana.
Mm.
But then he told your dad that I'll help you with money, but I don't want you to go to the mines. That was not because he's not very happy,
Mm-hmm.
But then he came, he was going to come home and take over the home place. So that was all too,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I don't know. So, we got going, you and I too.
Mm-hmm. Is that hard for him to leave, for Daddy to leave?
I don't think so. I don't think it was too hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't hard for me either.
Why?
Because your dad was already over here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was it hard on your brothers and sisters though? Your dad?
My dad is as hard as on him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then you got to see him again, didn't you? You got to see him
again.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He was
in my room. He was doing it wrong.
He was blind, but
he heard you.
Oh, yeah. He was asleep as a bell, gasped up at everything.
Yeah. Tell me about him. He was quite alone, wasn't he?
Yeah. He was well known. Both my mom and dad were well known.
Tell me about them.
I'm going to say something in Norwegian. I am writing my memoirs too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I'm going to say something in Norwegian. We didn't, there was no inheritance. Of course, my dad gave me a little, But it was one thing, I want to quote Ivar Aasen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was one of those. The writers, the best known ones in Norway, Stor arv det for mannen, av godt folk være født. Well, both my mom and dad were outstanding, I think. They were outstanding.
Tell me what they do.
Of course, my mother was the midwife up there. the midwife there, you went to school, she had 2.5 years at the clinic in Oslo to learn the trade. And then they were paid by the district. And of course, she was supposed to have so much to each case too, but that all depended if they had anything to pay.
So they didn't have to. They didn't have to pay her.
But after socialized medicine came in, then she got to, you know,
That was much better for her, but then that was the later years, you know. But you know, she wasn't one of the midwives, she was the doctor. Only doctor up there?
Was the doctor. So, he came up there once a month and had the kind of office hours. But you know, people got sick more than that. So she was the one that came to. And I don't think it was a home in the whole valley that she wasn't in. It did something good. And when a baby was born, she didn't just stay there till it was delivered. She usually stayed if it was, you know, stolen night and leave the other day and went back again and went back again if it was cold enough.
Did it help the parents too? It helped the mother. Learn how to take care of the baby.
And the mother, she made them all stay in bed. But it was one though she couldn't quite control, and that was her dad's mother. But then she died from the cancer of her uterus and things too, when she was just 49. But she couldn't control her. She got up and went healing or whatever she did. She just, I think it was after your dad was born in July, I bet it was then. But then she knew where to go. She went way up in the woods so that his mother didn't see her. Well, what more do you want to know?
What about Dad? What did he do?
And he was a carpenter.
So your dad?
Yeah, he was a carpenter. He went to school too, to learn things. He went to trade school. So he specialized in furniture. But this was a kind of a mountain valley, you know. And there wasn't much work to be had in that. But it was one you had heard about Singer. Singer was, one in that family, he built a tourist resort up there. And Dad made all the furniture for that. Carved, everything was carved. So that was a good thing. We had a small farm. Oh, we were never in one. We had, you know, we had.
Was it kind of a tourist hotel too?
Well, after mother died. Yeah, we had took in some passing through, mostly, you know, some overnight stay, and so this temporary too. We tried it after we built a new house.
And then didn't Grandpa write too?
Yeah, little poems.
Were they published?
Some of them were. And they wrote most of them after he was lying entirely. And he had his niece and Orson to write for him.
How old was he when he got blind?
Oh, he must have been about 88. He wasn't entirely blind too long. He wasn't quite 90 when he died, you know. But he was completely blind. Maybe he was home then. And they were home that summer, and then he would have been 90 in April, but he died in January.
When did your mother die?
I was working at the in a store there. And then
where?
Back in Kedar. She was sick. So I quit and I take over home.
Yeah. Didn't you have to go away to go to school too first?
Yeah.
And to come home?
Yeah, just 9 months. They had those courses there, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, what?
Everything. Just like, oh, I would say like first year of high school here or something.
Oh.
But we didn't have a hand crack to the sewing and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And then you had to quit with the home?
No. I got the job at that store then, you know, when I got it in that summer. Stayed there for 2 years and came out there.
That was ready to go. So, back in your family further, was it all carpenters or farmers, or, you know, have you heard about uncles and
grandfathers? Grandfathers and grandmothers? No, I guess they were farmers. But it seems like on both sides of the family, they were active in civic life, you know.
Yeah,
they were. Yeah, they were. And then my mother had four brothers, I think it was. One took over the home place, and one was a little retarded, so he stayed there. But it was two that went away to school, and one, no, three. Oh, she had five brothers. One worked for the, he had an office job in the what did you call it, in the Oslo. In the judicial department or something like that.
Yeah.
And one was an engineer, electrical engineer. Two of them were that.
Mm-hmm.
So they were old. They managed to get an education.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother. But this is the one thing we were all, we were seven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were seven. And it was one thing that kind of bugged us all the time. I know my oldest brother said that. If they, mom and dad, had settled a little bit closer to some bigger city,
mm-hmm.
you could have had the education we all wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't get.
Mm-hmm. Did any of your brothers get an education? Or your sisters?
My one sister. She went to teacher's training, what they call it, 1 year. And by that she was a teacher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But she taught them.
Mm-hmm. She taught them. Just as Lord for example.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. But then, well, they managed to get that little 9 months, most of all. I had it, and I have had it, Johannes had it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I really ended up with a congressman with that little education.
That's all the education he had?
That's all the education he had.
And he was a sorting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sorting. Fiber and sort.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course, he was very active in the, at home in the
local government?
Yeah, the local government. Oh, yeah. And I worked at that.
Oh,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Were his mother still at work? He's been active in civic life.
Huh.
There were other relatives to the
rest. Yeah, they were all that, and my dad's side too. They were farmers, but they were, you know, I had a cousin. He got the congressional medal on him.
Yeah.
For his work in the local government.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was his name?
That was Ivor Unskor too. So they had two Ivor Unskor. It was Ivor D and Ivor J. Yeah, and then Ivor, my brother's wife, did she get the congressional medal?
Alma?
Or she was your more like my mother.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of course, mother should have had it, but they didn't give it in those days.
No.
She should have had several of them, 10 of them maybe.
All the lives she saved. Mm-hmm. Are there other names too of relatives that were active that you can tell me besides Ivor? Maybe uncle or something?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
seems to me the rule, you know, especially that's in my womb, in at home, you mean, especially in my womb, the Sankhya, Uli Sividhar, he was very active. And so was my uncle Jodan, my dad's brother, he too was.
As long as they had work.
but he came. I don't know how long we were there before he came. I can't remember. Maybe 2-3 weeks before he came. So we stayed at the sexuals.
Mm-hmm.
He came.
What was your impression when you first came to America?
Oh. I said to the sexual one, she asked me, and I said I thought it was dirty. And she took it the wrong way. She thought it was her house that was dirty, but it was but it was a wet, cold day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And and where they lived, it was kind of, it was no cement or anything like that. They lived out in the country, you know. I didn't mean that at all.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there was a lot of tea learning around, and everybody came to talk to us. And, you know, everybody there, they knew my folks so well, you know.
So you really felt welcome.
Of course, yes, lady. Yeah. Sure. And even, well, I must have money because I know Mrs. Axel even borrowed some money from me. Those $50 must have lasted a long time.
What do you think was the hardest thing to adjust to? The language, or was it the mode of living? Or?
Yeah, the language was hard. Not as long as you stayed around asking, because all you heard was Norwegian. But then, you know, when we moved to Grilla, that was different there.
Yeah.
Well, I know when that one family, the Strumps, that when they came to visit us, you know, they just moved out there then. I didn't. I couldn't say a word to them. But I fixed lunch. Of course, fixed lunch. And your dad was there. He and all the mom a little bit. He's been there, you know, 2 years in Montana. He picked up some. Man, the houses, you know, were kind of, they were much smaller than we were used to in Norway, you know. The buildings in Norway, they were pretty good.
Yeah,
they were pretty good. We had a new house and a big house, you know, many bedrooms. And,
yeah.
So I told them here, they slept three, four beds in the same room, and that was kind of hard to start with. To get used to that.
So it wasn't an easier life, do you think?
It wasn't an easy life. It came at the wrong time, of course. There was no work. In 1930, we ran right into depression.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right into depression. But we had our health. Mm-hmm. Not by the time. Yeah, we stayed with Amish then, only Amish then, the first winter. Your dad did chores for them, you know, they were elderly and they were really happy to have him there. And of course, if it was some fixing to do, he did that. And I helped her in cooking and cleaning. And there's when you fell and hurt your back, hurt your head. That was a sad. By the way, the one that took us to Deep River, he visited us in not too long ago.
What's his name?
Ola Palmi. I can still see him when we came home, and he was carrying you in. And you had your eyes open, and then Ellen said, oh, thank God she has her eyes open.
Was that her boy? What?
No, her grandson. He was young. Yeah, young and this was sure.
He's got an older dude. So how did you learn the language?
We learned the language, oh, little by little, especially after you start school, you know.
Yeah.
And then they got a radio, and you know me in reading, I always like to read.
Yeah.
And after we moved to Grigla, I think that really helped me was, yeah, I do remember the Hillans, and the Ladies' Aid, and Mrs. Hillan wanted me to be secretary of Ladies' Aid. That helped me a lot, because then I had to write and everything.
Yeah.
And I had to read the minutes and everything. So that helped.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Didn't you pick up someone I went to school to.
Oh, yeah.
Started.
Then well, that was after, that was the second time we moved to Gregladez, you know, that the Andalay said, because we were in Gregladez, that was the first farm that kind of belonged to Gregladez.
Yeah.
And there's where Thelma was born,
mm-hmm.
See?
Mm-hmm.
And you started school there,
mm-hmm.
Walked across the field to catch the bus, didn't you? In the Misqueros. It wasn't an easy life. It was a nice little house, but it was small. Just a two-room and a pantry. And it was a small upstairs where Henny slept when he came to see us. He didn't have any work in either. So but after he'd been there a couple of years, of course, Eric, he got the notion he was going to add on to the house. He had the carpenters right there. So they put a basement under the house and added on the kitchen and the bedroom. And that was before Tom.
And then you got a washing machine.
And yeah, they got a washing machine right after Tom was first washing machine. It was good land out there, and they had good crops, but their mom, yeah, I don't know, my, you know, Lasha told me many times how many acres they had in there, really good crops, and they couldn't harvest that a foot out. It was too wet. Couldn't get anything. Then Eric, you know, the one that answered him, said, no, Larsa said, you better get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was concerned.
He was concerned, yeah.
He didn't just use you.
No. Mm-mm. No, no. A lot of people said a lot of bad things about Eric, but they were wonderful to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They really were. They were nice. They came at all hours of the day. I had to get up in the middle of the night and take something, but I didn't mind that. They were nice. Yeah, the grocery store in International Falls, and they always brought something too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We didn't starve during the Depression.
No, we didn't starve. No. Another thing we did, that little cow there, and it was birthdays in the summertime. The one that had, you know, we had birthdays, and we were together once a month, and that kind of picnic. Everybody brought food.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And of course, you don't have to go visiting, you have to use the mule and the buggy for a while. They bought a tractor though. First, they farmed with a team of mules, and I think they had two teams of horses too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was a lot of land, you know, and it was a lot of work.
Yeah.
For just the ag? Didn't they have help?
No, just the ag. And was there when they don't in the season.
How many cows did you milk?
I can't remember exactly.
It was about 20.
No, I didn't have that much.
No,
we don't have that much. Maybe around 10. But then Eric said he had another place that was empty. And that was his dad's place, and that was in Gatsby, close to the Gatsby.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, you better move there, and there you don't have, because now it started opening up for work, you know. And he got to know Tom Asby,
mm-hmm.
and they started working together, see?
Yeah, they were doing
carpenter work.
Mm-hmm.
So Eric thought to do better, then you don't have to worry so much. We still had the cows, but then, you know, we always make a few cows and still work out. So, but they stay there only 1 year. More moving. Then somebody got a notion that they were going to buy this Otto Janssen house in Grigla. It was a nice house. That was all it was too. There was no land. And I think we were supposed to pay $100 a month.
That
was a lot of money for us.
Mm-hmm.
In those days.
Mm-hmm.
But it was over there, and it was, as I say, it was a nice house, but it was just an old house. You couldn't even have many cows there, you know. It wasn't in the garage, it wasn't. So, I'm not sure if you can see that. But I think we were there about a year and a half.
And then it was another place close by. That was more land, and it was a good barn. And it was, and then, you know, you could farm. Because in Minnesota, especially up there, the carpenter work is seasonal. You know, it isn't much to live into that. So you have to have a little more than just, you can't depend on that. So, there's another move, we moved over there then. And that was an old small house again. And, but it was a living room and a bedroom and a kitchen. But you girls had to sleep on the couch in the living room. It was a big kitchen. And I kept that the dining room table and the chairs and the buffet from the other Johnson place. I don't know what we did for furniture. I can't remember what we did for furniture. But I know I got a roll on old sewing machine. That's something I had to have. I did that to remember. I think Eric brought that one of those two gentlemen. Well, we are getting into the war years too now, you know. Mm-hmm. 39 and 40. War in Europe, occupation of Norway, and things like that. We didn't hear anything from Norway for a long, long time. No letters could go on the ship and smuggle into Sweden and things like that. That's the only way.
Were your people hit in Norway? Was anybody hurt during, during the war?
Well, I had a cousin, first cousin. Her name was Marit. She stood with her before she was married, and she married a teacher. His name was Morse from Samburg. And he wasn't only a teacher, he was a clocker too. And they were really, really in Norwegian, I mean, they were really against the Nazis, and they really did, you know, they didn't have anything. And so those that sided with the Nazis and the Germans, they were after. And they knew they were coming. So it was, I think, him and three or four other boys. They had the, did they have five boys? They had started out, you know, and to and get and up in the mountains, and we're going to go over in another valley because they knew they were after them. But they caught up with them. And one boy was shot right there. By the way, I was his band sponsor that he was baptized to.
Mm-hmm.
And they shot him right there. And one boy, he got away, but they were, but the Moshe himself and another boy was caught. And they were taken to Trondheim. And they were lined up against the wall there together with the whole pack. Okay.
How old were the boys?
Oh, well, they were grown up.
Yeah,
yeah, they were grown up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she lost all of them?
She, just about all of them. Still one. Maybe two left. But she practically lost her mind, naturally.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So that was tragic.
Mm-hmm. But they all stayed
through
in Norway.
Oh, they stayed through in Norway. Oh, yeah, they didn't vote it.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dad's dad and your dad were still living during the war?
Mm-hmm. He, your grandpa and I got, he died during the war. So that was when we started getting news again from there, then we
mm-hmm.
heard that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad, of course, because he was letting me be.
Mm-hmm. Was it hard for them to be as far as food? Was it fresh and bad?
Oh, yeah. It was hard. I don't know if they starved, but then.
They had a farm, so they had.
They all had it, yeah. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of times, you know, the Germans came and took over, took what they had. Mm-hmm.
Oh, they took what they farmed, what they grew to?
Well, they grew, yeah. They grew, yeah. Mm-hmm. What were you doing?
Besides.
But then, they managed. They outsmarted the Germans in many ways.
Is that right?
Oh, no, I don't know. I'm wondering if sorry, if I did something.
When they came to get food, I suppose they had some
yes.
Oh,
yeah. There wasn't very many sympathizers up there, though.
But did you don't?
No. I think they told us about one lady or girl over there, as you say. Yeah.
She was doing that.
No, it wasn't very long. We're
through to there.
No, you were here during the war. And what happened? You were at the farm in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there was Harry Hummel's place right mm-hmm. by the Grigla now.
Mm-hmm.
In Grigla. And then we were farming, and I was working on Alpine Aunt. And that summer, that must have been 42. Then Henning and him went to Great Falls, Montana, to work in the airfield, and left us with the cops. Well, that went too. It wasn't too bad. It was kind of cozy on the Harry Hogland place, you remember?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We were half up, kind of a little bit, and you could see the town there.
Mm-hmm. The river right there?
The river right there. It was a little walking bridge over there. You walked there to school, and they walked there into town and got our groceries. And I think they came by truck and picked up the milk or the cream or whatever it was we sold.
Yeah.
They must have, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that what kept us in food? Was it selling the cream?
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's been working out quite a bit. And then he came back a little bit before Henny came. You came back, and you had graduated from high school in this, from eighth grade in the spring. And in the fall, Audrey Hilland talked him to move her to AC, Brooklyn.
Yeah.
But Dad was home already then. So he had money to send you to, and you know, that was a boarding school.
He didn't want me to go to Goodrich anyway.
Yeah, I didn't know. Was it a high school in Goodrich?
I guess I didn't have to take the bus, though.
So. Oh.
And right, it was dark when they left in the morning.
Oh, yeah,
and then back at night, and Daddy
right.
said no.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And that was just a 6 months school, wasn't it?
Oh, I remember that.
Because you were through the end of March. And it ended. Because AC, it was an agricultural college, they called it.
Mm-hmm.
It was for the farm youngsters, mostly see.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd be done and do the work and do work in the fields and whatever. And then when Henning came, then he was on draft. He could have been drafted. Now the war is still on, see. And he didn't want to be drafted. But if you were farming, they wouldn't take you. Okay, here is the proposition. I'll take over your farm. And he said to his brother, you go west. Because at that time, a lot of times you went west to go to work in there. No, defense plants, you know. It was Boeing and the shipyard and everything like that. So, and he had already been out there. So he knew. And he also knew that his dad's cousin Tommy needed sleep. So March 1st, your birthday, that went. He left us with the calls again. But Henning was there then. Henning was there then. You know, he was taking all the security to show us.
He stopped at the senior at school. I was still at school.
Yeah. You see, he couldn't go because you still had another month.
Oh,
yeah.
End of March.
Yeah.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
And then April 1st, you go to that.
We had to pack up everything and put on the train.
Okay. And you had a trunk and you had to get some a rope and then they came to Grand Forks, I think it was. Because the trunk was kind of falling apart. And there was another move.
You left all the furniture and everything.
Everything.
you know, just our clothes and, well, the dishes and bedding, and I had some canned goods, if I can remember. Cans of meat, you know, canned meat. But I left my washing machine and I left my sewing machine. And, April 1st, and Albert Hillen took us to the girl, like he did last. Yeah, and we came to Everett.
It was cool, but
spring day, I didn't know much. It was Tom here with his model tea. Getting up. Your dad has only started working at the shipyard. They put up the shipyard. And he stayed in here for 2 weeks before they started, see? He didn't try to go any other place because they knew where they would start. So he was the first one, and he stayed the last one too. Your dad was, he was a layout man.
It's a
laid out all the, you know. And the rest of them did the nailing.
See what I mean?
So it was kind of
So you got a good job.
Oh, you got a good job. And they were long hours. All the pay wasn't too hot. This was just in 43, it wasn't. But they got a lot of hours, see.
Yeah.
A lot of overtime. So we stayed there a whole year. I think it was. And you started high school. Thelma started, she was in third grade, she got in a couple of months, I guess. Third grade, and started with you.
Did I start high school that right away from the kid?
No, not the end of the
fall. You started next year?
I don't know. I suppose you could have. But I never thought about it. No, you didn't. But you didn't like it, huh?
Not that school.
Huh?
It was a hard school.
It was a hard school.
Yeah, well, that superintendent we
worked
on.
Yeah.
It's a tyrant.
Yeah.
What was your impression of West?
Oh, I don't know. I like the West. It looked so much like Norway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really did. All the way. I thought that even when we drove up from Everett that day.
Yeah.
It was so much like Norway. But I thought it was cool. It takes a while to get used to the climate there.
Yeah.
The darkness.
Mm-hmm.
I know Thelma ran across the road to Shirley Erickson right away. She didn't. She didn't wait.
She stayed 3 years.
Yeah.
What we do?
People to find it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dad had saved enough money to buy it, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't think he paid cash right away. I don't know about that.
Almost,
yeah. Let's see, we still had our cows, our furniture, and everything back in Minnesota. See?
Mm.
Yeah. So, in the end of the summer, after we moved up to the farm, then your dad went back to Minnesota and sold up there. And he had already had a sale to sell the furniture. You know, we just had both a new ranch, kitchen ranch, right there. And we had the, you know, the dining room set and things like that. So I think he had already sold that. But we still had the cows, and we then went back and settled up. When he came back, we paid for it. And he had the washing machine and a sewing machine shipped by. And the farm we bought, it had 5 cows. And, well, just some broken down machinery, I guess.
But Dad worked out all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
as ever since.
Yeah. Still does.
pretty old.
Well, it would be 77 pretty soon.
Okay. And you're working too.
Yes, he went to Alaska 3 summers. Yeah. And left me with the farm again.
Which farm you had though? Was it cows?
Yeah, it's cows. Berries, yeah, good little berries. Mm-hmm. There's always something to take care of.
It's a lot of work.
But then, before we went to Norway though, in 52, we sold the cows and kept just one. You graduated from high school. You went to Bellamy and Brewer. And you met your husband. And you got married the next summer.
He's a teacher?
He's a teacher. He had some education before he got married. Stay there for 5 years and then come back here to PLU and his education and has been teaching school ever since. Okay. And also had 7 kids. Or children, should I say. 5 boys and 2 girls. And they have 1 grandchild. Hope they get more from soon.
You get told pretty soon.
Yeah. Did she graduate from high school in 52?
Yeah.
She went to Spokane State in Greenville in the summer, and we were in Norway. And she got a job there. Got herself ready and started college. So she got after 4 years. And she has met Roche Wash there. Okay. And she taught school in Tacoma 2 years. After she taught 1 year, they got married. After Roy graduation, they moved up to Seattle and he started medical school at the University of Washington. And she kept on teaching and putting him to medical school over there. And they have been in Seattle ever since, and they have 2 children. Ryan, who was 11, and Anna, and 7.
So what about keeping up on all Norwegian food and traditions and stuff and holidays and something like that? You cook Norwegian food?
Oh yeah, we do. We still like Norwegian food.
Mm-hmm.
We still cook reasonably good. Lutefisk. We can make less sand. And I used to make flatbread, now we buy it, but we still like it. On the farm after we got, had only one cow, I made all the butter too. Sure, butter, you know, a little pan, sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Was it hard to use different food?
Oh, no. I don't think so.
How about keeping up on Norwegian holidays? I understand that they do so much more with Christmas in Norway than you do here. For instance, did you miss that when you first came?
Yeah, in a way. I miss it. But it's one thing, they don't the wall were bordered with cards and gifts there, like we do here. I think they concentrate more on food.
they, you know,
they take so many things
because of that.
Because of that. And of course, they don't work during Christmas. It's almost 2 weeks holiday, you know. Of course, they have to do the chores, but they just celebrate the holiday.
Yes, over in the home, there's a church part of this.
Oh, not really. It's mostly visiting
mm-hmm.
the homes.
Mm-hmm.
But Christmas Eve, though, nobody goes any place. You just stay home then.
Mm-hmm.
Unless then in some churches they have services, you know, kind of early.
Yeah.
They leave the church there. Is it at 5 o'clock, isn't it?
Then
when the holidays.
Yeah.
I think it's 5.
Mm-hmm.
We live quite a ways from the church, but we could hear it.
But then you go to church Christmas Day?
Yeah.
Everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
We hear instruction, religious instruction in the schools there too, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the education here as compared to what you get in Norway?
Yeah. You get more and more in shorter time. I tell you that. Otherwise, how did you think that I could have gotten to Congress with just 9 months after?
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And they read a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They read an awful lot.
Yeah,
they did that. And another thing the Norwegians have, they have this gift of writing poems. They can sit down and write a poem anytime. I don't have that gift. I can write, but I can't write poems. Yeah, that's something they are.
Yeah.
And they write poems for weddings and everything like that.
Make little cards.
Make up like that.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's the training in school that does that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to learn, you have to write more, you know, essays and you have to. That sure could, and I would could, and you know. The one that was most gifted of us, I think that was Inga, though. The one that was a teacher, she's. You know, yeah, we went to. This goes back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the grade school, you know. It was 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in a 2-room schoolhouse. We went to one room here up to the 3rd or 4th year, and another room there. The rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the same teacher all those years. Same teacher. And his sister taught the lower grades.
Yeah.
And you know, all of us 7, they get straight A's all through. If that wasn't a marker, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Because that wasn't I still have mine, even though they got me in the
class. Just like the family.
Yes. Yeah, but I think they all got. I think it was one. I think it was Peter. He was a little slower than the rest of us. But you know why? They found out when he was about 10 years old that he could see and more than one eye.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know it before. At that time. When they found out, then he had been with his dad out in the barn and they'd been doing some repairing and so a nail hit the one eye. And lo and behold, that was his good eye. And they took him to the doctor and they found out that he didn't see anything in the other eye. But they didn't, the pupil kind of ran out, but it didn't affect his eyesight. But I think, but then he, there you know, you had to learn to write. They know to read. They had to teach them to read before they started school because they didn't start when they were 7. Okay, he was 2 years older than I was. So I suppose he was 6. And I don't know if that's my mother or the oldest one, you know, we were kind of the youngest, you know, read, and I would read it. So they were teaching him to read. Like, here now, he was sitting there. And I was here.
Mm-hmm.
So I read faster than he did upside down. I was 4. But you know, that guy, if he had a chance to go to school, he could have been a professor in mathematics and in any college and any university. He was that bright, you know.
Yeah.
See here?
No,
he
didn't have the opportunity.
He didn't have the opportunity to get good school.
Mm-hmm. So you're not sorry you came here with your children?
No. Not only.
You were active mostly in church life, right? Was most of that. Wasn't any community work or?
Oh, it was one there, you know, organization there that they call it the Sanitas for any that's just about the same as the Red Cross, not exactly. And then there was a women's organization, and they had meetings and raised money. And they were the ones that built the old Pegasoma dealer.
Yeah.
So that we were active.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had another ladies, and that was for mission. But you know, the churches there, they were government.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Paid for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you didn't give money to the church every Sunday like we do here.
No.
Mm-hmm. Just then they had special offerings for like for mission or something.
But then when you got here, it was mostly church life.
Yeah.
That you were active in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But Dad has built, like, he built the church up here.
Mm-hmm. I'd say that.
Mm-hmm.
Not by himself.
How about the training in the home? Did you get a lot of training, you think, from your mother? Christian training and learning to read and...
Oh, sure. Don't you think you do? I mean, you know, you can always tell, you know. Because, you know, she was educated and, you know, she came from a family that...
Mm-hmm. And I think that, I'll say this much, I got training at home too, because I always had to know my lesson before I went to confirmation.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, in Norway you always had to learn, you know, you had to, in fact, you had to learn so much by heart.
Mm-hmm.
Every week, you know, every Saturday, we had the school 6 days then. And then sometimes we had a week off, and then, you know, but every Saturday when we had school, we always had a psalm to learn by heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the Bible reading, and it was 1 hour set aside for that.
Mm-hmm.
And the confirmation too, it was much, you know, it was really, we had to learn. Not only the words, but the tunes.
And the songs?
And the songs.
Mm-hmm.
And the hymns.
Mm-hmm. Education's always meant a lot to you.
Mm-hmm.
And we got that.
Yeah, we can.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's kind of like school.
What do you think about the government here as compared to in Norway?
How much of a government?
Yeah. How about socialized medicine in Norway? I think that's good.
Oh, I think it's good.
Well,
we found that all when we were there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. You have to pay for it, you know, anyway, you know. Taxes, but then if somebody has to go to the hospital and have surgery and don't have any money, well, that's no barrier because it's all paid for.
Mm-hmm. better care is with it.
Mm-hmm. Maybe all the doctors don't like it. I don't know. I didn't hear anything.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I know my mother found it better, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because then she got paid.
So it equalized things.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it get better than for the children to get education to them there?
Yeah.
Than it was before?
Oh, sure.
Easier.
Mm-hmm.
And they do go. They go to. They go on more, you know, and it's better. The whole thing, I think. It's more out that go out to school.
Mm-hmm. Like your nieces and nephews,
right? You
say.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
school.
It's some that don't care, you know. It's
mm-hmm.
some that just stay where they are.
A lot of them did.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nephew is a doctor, right?
Yeah.
Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
Are there others? They're professional people?
Mm-hmm. Online.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My sister's oldest boy. He's in business.
Yeah.
He runs a grocery chain or something like that. That's what he does. And of course I got a niece that's a pharmacist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or rather, she's my grandniece, so she's Karen's.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a niece that's married into a family that is in a lot of riches. That's the Horneman family.
She married
his dad was a preacher.
Seems like the girls have just as much opportunity
to
get education now as the boys do over there.
Oh yeah.
It's equalized it, I have.
And then, of course, it was also she had quite a bit of education.
Mm-hmm.
She died. She went to the same training as her mother, and then my mother, but then she ran on. She was a dietitian too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she had the nurse, full nurse, too. Besides, and she was a wonderful person.
Mm-hmm.
They said she was so much like my mother. She did work at the old people's home up there then, for a while, you know, besides being there,
mm-hmm.
the old mood. And a lot of old people said, and she came, she reminded them of my mother, you know,
mm-hmm.
and she was very acting and everything, kind.
Why do you go to sons in Norway or any Norwegian organization, or do you go? You still contact with?
Mm-hmm.
You still write to people in Norway?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I write to my two sister-in-laws then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Vivian and Alma.
Mm-hmm.
And then my sister, I still have a sister in Norway.
Mm-hmm.
None of them have been over here though.
Miss Cameron.
Mm-hmm. Can you say something in Norwegian to close? Mm-hmm. Or pray in Norwegian or the Lord's Prayer?
Norwegian? No, I don't think so.
If you do it.
Det var moro. Det är mer kvinnor sagt, men det kommer svårare att vara än också.